Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning, folks. Hope you're having a great Thursday morning. We've got a great lineup for you today. Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission, joins us in the 12 o'clock hour, and we'll talk about a number of different issues. We'll talk about the utilization of technology, a little bit about what's going on in the OPSO inmate escape, and I'll talk a little bit about that in my monologue. And at 11:30, Roy Karuba joins us, president of Karuba Engineering. He's also the president of the board of the Southeast Louisiana Flood Protection Authority East. There has been a lot going on with that board to reconstitute. Folks have been reconstituting that board in a different fashion. There's been some criticism. And we reached out to Roy, and Roy said that he wanted to come on and tell his side of the story as the head of the Flood Protection Authority East Board. Mike Cowan, chairman of the New Orleans Crime Commission, will join us to talk about the most recent NOPD satisfaction survey that has been released by that organization. They have been doing this survey for a number of years, and we'll talk about those results with Mike Cowan. At 10:30, there's a new head of the Port of New Orleans board chair, Mike Thomas. I know Mike. I've known him for a number of years. We'll get his perspective on what's going on with LIT. We'll also talk about Governor Landry signing House Bill 687 for the St. Bernard Transportation Corridor, and where we find these projects and where they are at the present time. So a lot coming your way today, especially about what's going on here locally. Obviously, we know what's going on around the country relative to a number of these protests and violation of immigration actions taken by ICE. That continues. There is a call for much more activity on this Saturday. And as these things continue to reveal themselves, we'll continue to report them out. Those that are saying that the actions by the Trump administration are unconstitutional are incorrect. We talked about that with an expert yesterday. There is authority to do what the president has done. They may not like what he has done. Their observations may be different than others, but that doesn't mean that it's an unconstitutional action by this president. This is about preservation of property and life of federal officers. There's no doubt that local government has taken a position on this with creating the sanctuary cities, not allowing local police to share information with federal authorities, and a whole host of different actions that they've taken in order to work contrary to federal laws. I kind of chuckle when I hear the political talking head saying, well, this is why we need to reform the immigration laws. Really? They don't want the possibility of any deportation proceeding. So the reality is this has nothing to do with reformation of immigration laws. This has everything to do with utilizing and enforcing the laws that are on the books at the present time. But they don't like that. The fact that there were, who knows how many, 10, 12, 14, 16 million illegal aliens that came across the border in the Biden administration. They don't want anyone to go and disrupt any of their lives for violating the laws of this country. It's kind of interesting because when it comes to citizens, we have no hesitation about disrupting the lives of those that violate laws, as menial as it may be. You park in the wrong place, you get a notice and a fine. You get it in the mail. And if you don't pay it, they boot your car. But coming to this country and availing yourselves of all kinds of things that we have to offer here, in many cases, you're not actually legally entitled to, but you go ahead and take them anyway, perpetuating a fraud on this country, perpetuating a fraud on the taxpayers, and otherwise, we want everyone to look the other way. But when we look internally at our own country and our own citizens that violate some of the same laws on the books, we have no problem with fining them, arresting them, throwing them in jail, separating them from their family, from their children, and otherwise. It's not a problem. It's interesting that the rule of law in this country is embraced for local citizens, but when it comes to those that break the immigration laws and come to this country illegally, we have a problem. We continue to have a problem. And what's going on out on the streets, if they don't think that this is violent behavior, I don't know what they're looking at. They're burning cars. They're attempting to burn buildings. They're throwing Molotov cocktails. They're throwing bricks and rocks and blocks at police cars, trying to effect immigration arrests. Who are these people? I think the most honest and truthful moment was something that I saw on a number of channels, local and national and otherwise, of protesters arguing with a black woman. And the black woman talking about, why can't y'all get out of the way? Why are you blocking the street? I think she said, I'm late to getting to work. What about my children that I have to support? What about me working and being able to get to my job on time, but you're blocking all the streets and disrupting the lives of everybody who are just simply trying to make a living? And they mocked her. They mocked her because they are selfish. They are self-centered. They don't care about the citizens of this country. They don't care about you that's working hard to put food on your table for your children each and every day. They don't care about you. They are depraved individuals that are only driven by their own ideological motives, and they don't care who else it harms. And that became evidently clear in that one interaction, which may be the most truthful moment to this point about actually what is going on in the streets of our country. And if you don't believe that your way of life and your ability to feed your kids, to support your family, to educate your kids, to healthcare and everything else is at risk and is being disrupted, you're just not listening. Your eyes aren't open. That moment right there, where that woman was mocked by these protesters, I think is a defining moment. It's one that we should show over and over and over again about the insensitivities of these folks. They don't care about this country. They don't care about law-abiding citizens. They don't care about the familial unit. They don't care about the sacrifices that you have to make each and every day to support your family. They don't care. And in many respects, it is driven by a hatred of all of us. a hatred of who we are, a hatred of our country, a hatred of how we defined ourselves. Go look at that video. It speaks volumes about where we are in the friction that exists in this street, on the streets of this country right now as it relates to these issues. They want to pick and choose what laws that are actually on the books that should be enforced. And I've never been a hypocrite on this issue. Constitutional sheriffs have gone out there and have said that they weren't going to enforce gun laws, they weren't going to enforce this, weren't going to enforce that, many of whom I know, and I criticized each and every one of them. That is not what you're elected to do. You are elected to enforce the laws that are on the books of the state that you're located in and the local community that you serve. You don't get to pick and choose which ones you like and which ones you don't. That's not how this works. Otherwise known as a democracy. Three branches of government. Laws are passed. I was critical of the Biden administration with EOs and all of that, and I'm critical of the Trump administration as well. But that's where we are today. Because Congress is impotent. They're engaged in too many other different things, and I've said this before. We need a part-time Congress. They're up there too long. They're trying to create things to get involved in. They've mucked up our lives in so many different ways with some of the BS that they're involved in each and every day. And Democrats and Republicans share the responsibility and the blame of all of this. And it's why we find ourselves where we are. We do not establish the appropriate priorities in this country and address them legislatively at all. Everything is seen through a partisan lens. How can it be that everything that we do in our lives today in this country is driven by partisanship? How does that work? How does that work? We have a Social Security system that's running amok. And yet, there's no collaboration as to how we're going to address this issue. We just keep kicking the can down the road, just as an example, right? Everybody talks about immigration reform, but nobody talks about what is it that they want to change. They want to be more lenient to those that cross the border illegally. We allow 1 million legal immigrants into this country a year. We allow a whole bunch of students on student visas into this country a year. We allow more than most any other country in the world. So what is it that we want to change? The ability to reward people that violate the rules? Is that the message that we want to change? We want to put them in the front of the line as opposed to the back of the line? Those that have been waiting outside of this country, hoping, praying for the opportunity to get here, doing it the right way, wondering why they are. They're not being rewarded, they're being punished. They're separated from their families as well. Does anybody speak on behalf of them? No. Because it doesn't align with a particular ideology or the politics. And the politics are starting to backfire on Democrats. The most hardline individuals that are out there right now are legal immigrants. I mean, 40-point shift. Democrats were 32 points up on that issue in 2020. They're now 8 points down. 40-point shift. In the mood amongst that demographic as to what's going on in this country. That should send a reverberating message across this country as what this country actually desires. To do it the right way. To follow the rules. Rules are meant to be followed, not meant to be broken. Especially with intentionality. They used to have the excuse, well, they didn't know. Come on, really? they're paying people to smuggle them across the border. They know exactly what they're doing. And they know why they're doing it. These are not all bad people. But we can't be all things to all people. And I remind folks all the time, we have 42 million people that live below the federally identified poverty level in this country, and we do a pretty crappy job of addressing that issue already. Why in our wildest dreams would we want to increase that number? We cannot manage what we have now. This is probably a good point to pivot to one other topic that I wanted to talk about. We're going to have J.P. Morrell on tomorrow at noon. We're going to be talking about these keys that he has to the jail, where a former employee who was terminated still had sheriff's office property. This happens. Sometimes, you know, these employees, they slip through the cracks. I've been in that position, served in a capacity to make sure that we collected our property. Sometimes we even had to file suit against employees that refused to return JPSO property. Threatening letters, things of that nature. People just are knuckleheads, right? But you got to have a process in place. And what this is emblematic of is it should pique the curiosity of a lot of folks as to whether or not there's a process. Because if there's not a process, I wonder how much other public property lies in the hands of private individuals that have left the sheriff's office. It has been a revolving door for a long period of time. This is going to be interesting to see what it reveals. Be interesting, and I hope that someone is going to interview this whistleblower to see exactly what it is that they have, what keys they have or otherwise, whether or not there's a log, whether or not there's an inventory of property that's actually assigned to individuals so that you know about going to get it. I don't know whether or not this sheriff's office has a quartermaster system. We did at the JPSO. There was a lot of equipment that we provided to our employees on a daily basis over the years. And, you know, we worked very hard to collect each and every one of those pieces of property that were given out, from uniforms to duty belts to guns to handcuffs to this to that, all kinds of different things that were offered up over the years. Interestingly, we've not heard the sheriff say a word about any log or any inventory, personal inventory system, of what has been assigned to individual, who has what, when, why, and how. She's just generally responded by saying, well, this individual doesn't have keys to the jail. Well, what does that mean? I mean, I don't know. Maybe there are keys to the front door of the jail. Maybe there are keys to other areas of the jail. The jail is an all-encompassing facility, as many aspects and factions to it. But it seems as though, and I know JP well, I don't think that he would go public with this unless he was confident in the veracity of this whistleblower, as well as what he actually is physically holding in his hands. We are at the point, I believe, where it's time for something to happen. This sheriff has said, let's be clear, and I quote, my deputies work hard every single day and night, so I won't let you make a mockery of their work. Well, I'm not sure that that's the appropriate characterization of this, because the fact of the matter is, if it is, then the federal monitors have made a mockery of the work of this organization for a long time. They said that this organization has been deficient. They have not lived up to the contemporary standards of running a jail. We refer to these inmates as residents. We think that if we have a touchy-feely relationship with these folks, that they're actually going to respect one another, they're going to respect authority, they're going to go through a metamorphosis, a divine intervention like no other person on the face of the earth, and their whole life is going to be turned around because Sheriff Susan Hudson is going to refer to them as residents. The one who's making a mockery of detention, the one who's making a mockery of trying to fight recidivism, the one who's making a mockery of the criminal justice system is Sheriff Susan Hudson. And really, she needs to resign. Her political opportunity or opportunity to be reelected is nil. Nil. Repeatedly been shown to be incompetent. The finances of this office are in a mess. Obviously, the classification system and where they are actually locating individuals within this jail is a mess. As more and more, and we still don't know the whole story here, I have some indications to believe that this story is going to get worse. We still have two at large. I would venture to say and feel very confident in saying that we're probably north of $1 million in expenditures because of the incompetency of this administration. And the best thing that can happen moving forward from this point forward is the federal court to appoint someone to go in and run that jail and for Susan Hudson to resign. This is getting worse by the day. It's not getting better. And it's going to take some extraordinary action to turn this whole thing around. The DA has little or no confidence in her. He has publicly stated that. He's actually publicly supporting an opponent to this individual. Although Chief Kirkpatrick has not come out and said, but if you read between the lines, I don't believe there's a high level of confidence that the NOPD has in Sheriff Susan Hudson. The judges, and some that I have talked to, have little or no confidence in Sheriff Susan Hudson. So what's left? The council has little or no confidence in Sheriff Susan Hudson. I'm not sure where the mayor is. We might have to reach out to her in France or wherever the hell she is today. Her opinion to me is of little or no consequence at this point in time because she's about a half a step away from where Susan Hudson is in this whole scheme of things, in my view. She needs to resign, and she needs to resign now. We'll be right back, folks.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We are joined by the Port of New Orleans Board Chairman, Michael Thomas. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, sir. You know, one of the most pressing issues right now on your agenda is obviously the LIT, the Louisiana International Terminal. Where are we in that process?
That's a multifaceted question. So we are moving forward. This is a process that's been going on for several years. Let me kind of start talking about the permitting process. We're in the final stages of getting our core permit with the federal government, which is going to allow us to begin construction. We anticipate receiving that permit within the next couple of months, and then that allows us to spend grant proceeds that we receive from the federal government and start construction hopefully at the end of the year. We've already acquired the property. We've done the site selection. We've done the environmental. So that's where we are in terms of the port itself, the Louisiana International Terminal. Now, as a side note, as you're aware, we have the St. Bernard Transportation Corridor. That's also a vital component of this project, which is going to alleviate truck traffic from the parish roads of St. Bernard, which we've listened to those stakeholders and our partners in the parish. And that just received approval from the state legislature, and the governor signed into law day before yesterday the ability for the port now to go out and put proposals out for private P3 partnerships at no cost to the port or the state to get someone to come and build that road for us to have another hurricane evacuation route for the citizens of St. Bernard and also that side of the river, as well as to have truck traffic removed from those interior arteries of St. Bernard Parish.
We're visiting with Michael Thomas, Board Chair of Port NOLA. Michael, obviously there are parallel paths going here, but it seems as though there's forward movement and momentum on all fronts at the present time.
Yes, you know, the governor appointed me last September, and this was one of the items he discussed with me. He said, look, let's get in here and let's try to figure out exactly what's going on. And so that's what one of my main tasks was. Since then, we've hired a new CEO to run the port because our previous CEO left for the private sector. Ms. Beth Branch has come in and done a tremendous job in kind of organizing our efforts. The governor has put his support behind this. He's engaged Michael Hecht, who everybody knows was very influential in helping us with the Super Bowl and changing the outlook of the city and making that so successful. And he is on board to provide assistance whatever the port may need and the state may need, and to facilitate this happening in St. Bernard Parish. So it is, I've explained it to other people. I feel like I have six trains all going at different speeds, and my job is to make sure they all get over the track at the same time. But it is a daunting process, but we're looking forward to the opportunity.
It's not as though this process has gone without controversy. I know that y'all continue to meet with some residents in St. Bernard. Where does that stand? And I believe that there may have been litigation filed.
Yeah, so we have an outreach program to where we've had several meetings with the residents of St. Bernard. The Corps has had public forums. You know, RPC has done public meetings for the site selection of the P3 road. they've made recommendations and narrowed that road selection down to three spots where citizens of St. Bernard can come in and voice their concerns. So we're actively engaged. There has been litigation in terms of a school that's on the property, in terms of the jurisdictional aspects of the port versus the Port of St. Bernard and the parish itself. But we believe that all of those are going to be resolved in a timely manner, and we can move forward with the project.
Is the Port of New Orleans actually adverse to the Port of St. Bernard? It's not the
It is not.
Yeah, I mean, I know that there are folks that want to say, you know, tell a story that they are, but it seems as though the interests align.
Correct. The Port of St. Bernard and the Port of New Orleans are working together in this project. You just have a certain group of individuals who believe for various different reasons that this project isn't going to help that community. And it's our job to try to have the community outreach is try to give them as much information possible to show them the tax benefits that this port is going to bring to their community, to show them that we're not going to impede or damage their infrastructure, but rather reinvigorate it and repair it and give them new infrastructure, whether it's water, sewer, drainage, roads. Those are all things that we're going to be responsible for. That was one of the mandates that the governor said to me. He said, Mike, you can't build this port and expect their police force to do everything when they're running on a strapped budget. And I said, I understand that, Governor. We're gonna facilitate solving that problem. The same thing with wastewater treatment or water. If their residents are using their water capacity to 98%, and then we have a demand for water, then we're gonna have to facilitate increasing that capacity at our cost, and that's something that we're looking into as well with all other public utilities. So we're going to do whatever is necessary in order to facilitate improving those things for the parish.
But the very nature of this project, I mean, this has been, you know, projects similar to this have been constructed in other areas of the country. And when you look at those projects, I've done some reading about how they proceeded, some of the same objections being made. But in the end, what they realize is that there's not a big draw in the infrastructure. Really, that road is the key thing. And in almost every port project that has been either rehab or developed in the last 25 years, they all have a road. And, you know, I know a lot of the folks that objected to the project early on said that the road would never happen. They're not going to get the funding. They're not going to be able to do it. What are they saying now when we find ourselves in a pretty good position with a number of people that want to engage in this project?
Well, you know, we have people calling us every day asking us when the RFP is going to be let for the road project. So I am eagerly excited about the opportunity to see exactly who wants to participate in this. I believe that some people, as you know, because you do this on a daily basis, some people, no matter what you do, no matter how you explain it, they don't like Christmas, and you can't do anything about that. All you can do is try to explain to them the possibilities and the improvements that you're going to do. If you look at this project, this is one of the only projects ever to be built on a greenfield site, and it's going to be the largest single port ever built in the country. It is a necessity for not only New Orleans and this region, this state, but also for this country because of the height restrictions on the Mississippi River Bridge, the Crescent City Connection. Without it, commerce virtually stops in terms of container terminal movement in this area. And I believe that's not only an economic issue, but it's a national security and a homeland security issue as well. And those are the messages that we're not only taking to the residents of St. Bernard, but also to our delegation in Washington, D.C.
What's the reaction been, to the financial picture that you guys have presented to the public about the new tax revenue? I think $1 billion in new tax revenue through 2050. It's about $40 million a year. Nothing to sneeze at. I mean, you don't have many projects that develop themselves and are generating that kind of tax base. Is there a disconnect between how you know the presentation of how this tax revenue is going to be divvied up and the benefit to both the Port of St. Bernard as well as the residents of St. Bernard?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up. So I listened to your show a little bit before I came on, and I think that for the recent history as well as maybe a little bit longer back, for whatever reason, the parishes surrounding the greater New Orleans area had a bad taste in their mouth for anything associated with New Orleans because they felt taken advantage of, whether that's St. Bernard, whether that's Plaquemines, whether that's Jefferson, whether that's St. Tammany. It felt like if it's the airport or if it's a port or if it's something else, that New Orleans was the big brother and they got what they wanted. And you look at what happened in St. Bernard with the Mr. Go, and you look at those things, and those people just kind of want to be left alone. And you look at New Orleans, whether it's the port or the city or the police department or anything else, as a negative. And the port had to do a better job of trying to explain to them that that's not the case here, that we're going to be a partner. So if you look at that tax revenue, I have some numbers for you. You kind of did a general $1 billion by 2050. But if you look at what there are in the first couple of years, I think it's a dramatic change in their economic future. You know, their budget, I believe, annual budget is about $29 to $30 million a year. If you look at what we're going to give them in terms of sales tax revenues, you know, we're projected that they're going to get $38.1 million in sales tax revenues immediately. Now, they're going to say, well, the port doesn't pay
to St. Bernard. To St. Bernard.
And they're going to say,
so
well,
that's
the port doesn't
bigger,
pay
that's a number larger than their existing total revenue that they get from taxes right now.
Correct. And I'm not, and I have other, I'm give me a second. That's bigger than our whole budget. So they can do whatever they want with that money, but that's going to come from our partners, right? That's going to come from the purchase of goods. Yes, we are exempt, but we have partners that are going to purchase goods. If you look at if you look at the ad valorem property taxes, which I'm sure you're intimately familiar with from when you were sheriff.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
From phase one, we're looking at $10.2 million to be spread out, law enforcement, library, you know, recreation, roads. So that's $10.2 million in addition to the $38 million that I told you. And then if you look to...
That number alone is a third of their existing budget right now.
That is correct. And that number it changes things dramatically for them. And then if you look at business and personal property taxes based on the cost of the equipment that's going to be purchased, right? There's a formula. It's 15% of a certain ratio and whatnot. If you look at it, 2030, it's going to be about $6.8 million for that year. And then every subsequent year for 2030, they range from about 7.7 to 2.6 million for business, personal, property tax values that depreciate over time. So if you look at what the port does, this is direct money that comes from the Port of New Orleans' Project Lit. This does not count for any accessory investments. It doesn't count for a Chick-fil-A that's going to come in. It doesn't count for, you know, the mechanic shop that's going to come in that's going to be fixing these trucks when they break down, or the tire shop. This is straight associated with what we can say is coming from Lit that is going to help this community. And I think that is a dramatic change.
We got to get to a break. We'll be right back. We're visiting with Michael Thomas, board chair of the Port of New Orleans, talking about Lit, the Louisiana International Terminal. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Michael Thomas, the chairman of the board of the Port of New Orleans. Michael, during the legislative session, there were a number of people that were talking about whether or not there was full-fledged support by the Landry administration as it relates to locating the lit in St. Bernard. There was talk about Plaquemines Parish and others saying that, you know, that there's uncertainty. What I'm hearing from you today, it's anything but that.
Yeah, no, that's correct. You know, with the governor coming out and helping us with asking Michael Heck and G&O Inc. to be a partner with the port and work with us to get our message out in St. Bernard is a clear statement, if you look at his letter of his support of lit. If you realize that one in four jobs in this state is port-related, not Port New Orleans, but port-related in terms of maritime-related in this state, he realizes the importance of the port industry, the maritime industry in this state. So far in that, he invited our partners to come and meet with him. We had a meeting yesterday with the governor for breakfast where our partners, Mediterranean Shipping Company and Ports of America, flew in all the way from Geneva, Switzerland, to have a one-on-one meeting with the governor. You don't have that dedication before. This kind of personal touch, this kind of personal intense listening that he did and that his administration is doing now hasn't been seen before, and I just want to thank him for that. You know, these two partners of ours have pledged $800 million investment in this state and in this project. You know, that's just for this port. But if you look at what that money is going to do, it's going to lead to distribution. It's going to lead to retail. It's going to lead to everything else, but not only St. Bernard, but for this region. And the fact that the administration is behind, and if you see how well they supported the road bill, you know, he gave his word to the citizens of St. Bernard that this port will not be built without a road. It's kind of like the airport was built without that flyover. That's not going to happen again, right? So he did everything he could to make sure that this road bill was passed so that we can go out and get that road for those citizens, and that happened. So his continued support is going to be influential in making this project happen, and we just can't thank him enough. And I think that eventually, through our message and through our help, through our partners, the citizens of St. Bernard are going to understand exactly how great this project is going to be for their community.
Well, let's hope so, because we have not been in a position to have many transformational developments, projects, whatever you want to call it, come our way. And this is one we're fully wedded to, right, this industry being the Port of New Orleans. It's why New Orleans is where it's at. It's why it's survived for all these years. And in order for us to move from a Tier 3 to a Tier 2 metropolitan area, it is going to require transformational projects like this to actually happen, get executed on, and operate, right?
Yeah, this is a generational project. You know, you and I both have heard it at political forums and whatnot. We need development here to keep our children from not leaving this state. This is exactly that thing. This is something that's going to keep our children and grandchildren be able to work in this state, earn a great living. You know, the Port of New Orleans, the average salary of one of these people at this port is $75,000. I challenge anyone to find me somewhere where somebody can come in and make that kind of living right off the bat. It's truly a special thing.
No doubt. Michael Thomas, chairman of the Port of New Orleans, best of luck to you. And let us know if you ever need to get anything out again. Happy to have you on.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Noel.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.